thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
If you've got your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 4, we're going to talk today about following Jesus. Matthew 4:18, there's this story of Jesus encountering four fishermen. It goes like this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said to them, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, two other brothers Jesus saw, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in a boat with their father, preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed Jesus. Last week, we started a series called Encounters, and we're going to go the next number of weeks following in various encounters of Jesus with ordinary people like you and like me. And we're going to watch what he says to them, what he speaks to them, how he heals them. And we're going to draw from that what we can learn today from how Jesus encountered regular people. And so today we're looking at this idea of Jesus saying to four fishermen, four tradesmen, "Come, follow me." It's this ordinary place of life. It's a seashore at their place of their trade. And this teacher, this rabbi, simply says a statement, "Come and follow me." One encounter, four fishermen, and one amazing Jesus. Father God, this morning, as we look at this simple statement, "Come and follow me," some of us have never heard that from you. Would you open our hearts to hear from you and to follow you in new ways? God, so many of us maybe have heard that over the years, and it's become just dry and empty. So Jesus, as we unpack "Come and follow me" from you today, for those of us that have heard it, would you make it new and afresh in our hearts? Thank you for your time with us today. Inspire us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and pull out your notes. I've done some fill-ins this week. I rarely do that, but it just lined up with the message. We want to start there with this idea of "Come and follow me." We want to unpack what that means. And I would say it's a simple statement, but it's more than a statement. Your first fill-in on your notes is it's an invitation from Jesus. You see, when he says, "Come and follow me," it's more than a statement. It's an invitation. Let me explain what I mean by that. You see, in the first century, in the ancient Near East, the tradition of rabbis and teachers would be that they wouldn't ask anyone to follow them. In fact, it was the reverse, that a student, a pupil, someone who wanted to follow in the ways of a teacher, wanted to learn how they interpreted the law and what they meant by it, they'd pursue that teacher and say, "Can I learn from you? Can I be one of your disciples?" And they would have to go through a series of tests and prove their worth, their knowledge of the Scripture, their interpretation of the Scripture. And they would have to be approved to follow a rabbi. But it always was initiated by the student, the interested party. This is so different. This rabbi, this teacher named Jesus, who'd been known to be teaching some new things, that we were to repent because the kingdom of heaven was near, that we were to turn because God was bringing his kingdom to here on earth. He approaches these four men, these tradesmen, at their place of work, and he says to them, "Come and follow me." And I've always wondered with the scriptures that just this odd thing that happens, and we just read over it, and simply this teacher says, "Come, follow me," and four tradesmen, hardened fishermen, drop their nets and follow. I wonder if like there's this mystical robotic thing that happens, like, "Oh, let's follow him. He told us to follow him." But this is profound. This teacher, this rabbi, has been saying the kingdom of heaven is near. In fact, he'd been teaching this new thing, this idea that to follow him was light. We find this in Matthew 11. He says this in verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You see, the teachers of that day were very concerned about how to interpret the law and what that meant, how to live out the law, and they would argue and debate to the nth degree of what it meant to follow the law. It was very difficult. It was a weighty assignment to follow in the footsteps of many of the teachers. This rabbi, this teacher, he's different. He says, come, weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This yoke, this metaphor of the idea, a yoke is a harness on an ox. An ox is meant to pull very heavy things, and that harness would place the weight on the back of the ox. The weight and the yoke of many of the teachers was a difficult weight to carry, to follow and appease God. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This was an entirely new way of teaching, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when Jesus walks to these four fishermen, this encounter with these four men, and says, come and follow me, it has profound implications over their entire lives. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to follow in the footsteps of this great teacher. Of course they're going to put their nets down. No one has ever done this. In all of rabbinic literature, in all of oral tradition, there's never another place recorded where a teacher invites a student to follow him. This is profound. They recognize it in the moment. They have become fishermen for one reason. They didn't make the grade of those that were other teachers. You see, you would grow up in Jewish education, you would progress, and as you progressed, you would be either ejected from Jewish education or you'd eject yourself out of disinterest. But nonetheless, if you weren't going to become a teacher and follow in the footsteps, you would become a tradesperson to provide for yourself and your family. These men had already ejected from that process or been ejected by other teachers. You see, this rabbi pursued them. The intent came from Jesus to them. And when come follow me is more than a statement for us today, it's an invitation. It's a profound invitation to follow this wonderful person by the name of Jesus. Let me unpack a little bit about the idea of it being Jesus. You see, in that day, Jesus was only at that point a teacher. A rabbi had been teaching some new things, but we have the benefit of 2,000 years of history and scripture to tell us that Jesus was more than a teacher. Jesus is the literal Son of God that came to pardon our sins. We have all fallen short of God's glory. We've all missed the mark. And he came to die a death, a humble death on a cross, to rise again from the dead, and to excuse our sins so we could enter into relationship with the Creator. When Jesus says to us by way of Scripture, come and follow me, it's an invitation from Jesus himself to enter into relationship with the Creator God. Come and follow me. It's more than a statement. It's an invitation directly from Jesus. It's more than an invitation as well. You'll see point two on your notes. It's a command. It's a command that is surprisingly simple. So Jesus says to these men, he doesn't exactly say, would you come follow me? They heard it as an invitation. They dropped their nets, but it is a command. Come, follow me. Let me explain what I mean by surprisingly simple. You see, following someone is far more simple than getting directions. A number of years ago, a buddy of mine, we were doing some running together, and we got this great idea to do some adventure racing together. So we signed up for the Vail Extreme Adventure Race Challenge. It's a 12-hour race. It involved 50 to 60 miles of mountain biking, 15 to 20 miles of running, hiking at high altitude, 12 miles of kayaking, all mixed with orienteering. So you had a map, a compass, find your checkpoints, finish the race in 12 hours. We realized it was going to require a great amount of training. My buddy started to train in this area of Colorado called Chautauqua Park. It's just outside Boulder. And there's a famous trail called Royal Arch. It's a number of miles up to the arch. It's an amazing view over the city as you sit under the arch. But we had been training early in the morning, and the first time he invited me, we met there at the base of the park at 4:30 in the morning. The only light was the stars and the setting moon. And what I really wanted to do was say, how do you make this course? Give me the instructions. How far to the first turn? It's pretty dark. How do I make it through the boulder section? What am I supposed to do there? Where should I slow down? Where should I speed up? Would you tell me how to handle that area that there's a cliff nearby because it's dark? I wish we would have had a couple hours for him to pack word for word how to do this. But my buddy said to me, because he'd run this course before, follow me. And I realized that was surprisingly simple. You see, it was a command, just follow me. That as I obeyed that command, as I followed, I realized if I could trust him in front of me because he's run this course, I would follow him and I would slow down where he slowed down. I would rest where he rested. I would crawl up the boulders in the way I saw him crawl up the boulders. I would turn when I didn't know there was a turn on the path because I could follow him. It's surprisingly simple. It was amazing, and we made it up the course. And by the end of our training, we were going up to Royal Arch and back, running twice, back and forth, before the sun would rise. It was surprisingly simple to follow the command of follow me. But I would say this, simple doesn't always mean easy. I think sometimes we get mixed up between the simple obedience of following Jesus and thinking that it should be easy. Simple means the process by which we follow is easy, but I'll promise you, running up to Royal Arch twice before the sun rises is no easy task. It was full of blood, sweat, even some tears on multiple occasions, but it was simple to follow the command of follow me. And that happens when we follow Jesus. You see, when we follow someone, when we accept that invitation, we begin to follow. And we begin to subscribe some level of trust to that person we're following. With my buddy, I began to trust him more and more that we could run the course faster each time, that we could take a little bit more risk on some of the parts. I could follow him. I was ascribing trust to him. And when we follow Jesus, we begin to ascribe our trust into him. We begin to posture our hearts as Jesus in authority over us, that Jesus knows the way. He is God. He knows the path. He's walked on this earth before. He knows the way of living. And Jesus gives us these commands. They're surprisingly simple, but at times they're not easy to obey. And I would say this, as we wrestle with those commands that Jesus gives us, let me say this, they're not regulations, they're not rules. I think Christianity too quickly gets sidelined into let's follow a certain set of rules and regulations, and it becomes religion, not relationship. But Jesus does have some commands for us. And those commands, as he says, are for our good. They're for the good of us. They're for the benefit of us and benefit of those around us. They're not about rules and regulations for the sake of rules and regulations. They're for our benefit. You see, he says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I've come with humble heart to give you rest for your souls. And when you follow my commands, even in the difficulties of life, there's rest for your souls. And when you don't, you pile on all the more trouble and pain into your life and those around you. It's not rules and regulations, but there are some commands to follow. They're surprisingly simple. What I found is we begin to follow someone, we begin to trust them, we begin to endear them as having a positional authority over us. And my buddy had that over me. He was guiding me up this course. And there becomes this choice in following Jesus where, well, he'll give us a command that is simple to follow, surprisingly simple, but extremely difficult in terms of giving something up. And we face this choice in following Jesus. As he says, come and follow me, my commands are surprisingly simple. We face this choice, do I continue to follow him? Because this simple command is really difficult or causes me to address an area of life I'd rather not address. And then I begin to take what Jesus says as a suggestion, and I begin to reposture him, that maybe he's not fully my authority, but he is in certain areas of my life and not in others. Well, this happened to some of the followers of Jesus. You see, these first disciples came and followed Jesus, but others did as well. Many crowds began to follow Jesus, and you'll see in Luke 6, if you want to turn there, Luke chapter 6, Jesus recognizes that many were following. They've accepted the invitation. They wanted this new way of life as they approached God. But Luke 6, verse 46 says this. Jesus is speaking and he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you say you're following me? Why do you ascribe to me some level of authority or power? They'd seen his miracles. They knew he must come from God himself. Maybe they didn't recognize him as the Son of God yet, but there was a superiority to who Jesus was that they recognized, and they called him Lord. But he recognized this dilemma. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He says, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He tells the story of a builder who builds with wisdom, builds the foundation of his life on a foundation. That's what it's like for someone to follow Jesus, call him Lord, and obey those commands, to follow those commands, because they bring rest for our souls. They bring easy carrying of burdens. But then he goes on to say, someone who doesn't follow those commands. Who calls me Lord but doesn't follow those commands is like someone who builds their house with no foundation. It crumbles and falls at the first storm. When he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? The original Greek word for the word Lord comes from the word kuros or kairos. It means supremacy. It means ownership. It means you belong to me. Why do you ascribe that you belong to me, that I've pursued you, I've invited you to be a follower, you've accepted the invitation, and now I command you certain ways to live, not out of rules, regulations, but out of goodness for your life and those around you? Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? I would challenge us today, are there things in our lives that Jesus is speaking to when he's saying, come and follow me, and he's doing it through this command? It's simple, but it's difficult. Have we sectioned off a part of our lives where we say, Jesus, I want sort of buffet Christianity. I want some of this and some of that, and you can speak to this part of my life, but I'm going to say no to you in that area of my life. And we deposition him. We make him not Lord. We make him suggestive teacher, that maybe I should consider this or maybe I should change that. But Jesus is saying with a statement, come follow me. My commands are surprisingly simple. Just follow me. I've been there before. I've walked the road. I know where to tell you where to speed up and slow down. I know where to tell you when you need rest. I know when I need to tell you to stop or go a different direction. It looks like the path leads left, but it actually leads right. Follow me is a command that is surprisingly simple. In Mark 8, Jesus is speaking to some other followers. And he says this about following him. He's speaking to his disciples and to the crowd, those that were following. And he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He must deny himself. There's some things that we love about life. There's some things we love about pleasing our nature as humans. And sometimes he asks us to deny ourselves and follow him. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. You see, come and follow me. This encounter with four fishermen was clearly an invitation from Jesus himself, but it was a command to come and follow me. Take up your cross. Deny yourself, because if you give up your life for me and the gospel, you will end up saving it. What happens here is it's a question of lordship. You see on your notes, we started this series, Encounters, Do What He Says. We're going to shift that over the coming weeks. But these first 3 weeks, we're looking at Encounters, Do What He Says. He says, come and follow me, which is a wide open invitation from an almighty God saying, I've pursued you. I initiated this with you. But then he says, come and follow me, a command. Follow my ways. Take up your cross. Do the hard thing. It's simple, but it's not easy. I want to challenge you. There's a couple opportunities coming up here at our church. There's always a bunch. You'll see them in the update every week. You can read about them, but I want to point out two. The first is for marriages. If there are any marriages here that are doing really well and you want to do even better, we've got an amazing opportunity coming up. But I would say for marriages who you'd admit to yourselves in that place that we're struggling. We don't speak to each other well. We don't communicate. We do things against each other that doesn't build each other up. We don't serve each other. We do things to hurt each other. I would say Scripture is pretty clear. Jesus is pretty clear about the commands of how we're to treat each other in marriage. Well, there's an opportunity in a number of different ways. Pastor Mike Mott, our marriage and family pastor, and Pastor Roger Funk, our pastor over community groups, have joined together for this winter, spring, and created a bunch of opportunities to study the book Real Marriage by Mark Driscoll. It's straight speaking from Pastor Mark Driscoll on what it means to honor God in your marriage. And I would encourage you, if your marriage needs to get in line with some of God's commands, then sign up for one of these opportunities. It's happening on Sundays in Sunday school classes. It's happening at homes around the community and community groups. Take that step to implement God's commands into your marriage. It's for your good. It's for your good of your lives and the lives of those around you. I would say to the men, the second opportunity. Men, so much of what happens around us is the result of our walk with God. And sometimes just the weight of life draws us away from walking with God how we knew we should or we first did when we first started following him. We've got an amazing opportunity this Saturday. It's called Step Up. It's an opportunity to do a one-day video conference right here at our church put on by Dennis Rainey. Pastor Mike Mott, our marriage and family pastor, and Pastor Roger Gerard, our men's pastor, have combined together to say, let's take one day on the weekend of the Super Bowl. I mean, goodness, you're going to spend all day watching football on Sunday. Come out and line up your life with what God says to men on Saturday. It's only $25, over 100 men already signed up. We're asking you, come out and follow what God says to be a man in Scripture. It's surprisingly simple. Just come to one of those opportunities and let God do the work. I want to ask you, is there anything in your life that God is speaking to, challenging you, giving you a command that you're ignoring? I want to bring a couple friends up here. They came to our church in the last year, and they didn't understand fully at all what it meant to follow Jesus, but something happened, and they began to follow Jesus, and they began to follow his commands, and their life has been turned upside down. So I'm going to invite Vince and Desiree to come on up. There you guys are. Come on up, you guys. Let's give them a hand. So you guys had known of Jesus before, but walking through a difficult time in life, and then something happened when you were here. Tell us about it.
We were at the lowest point of our lives. We've been addicts most of our lives. Since I was 15, I'm 34 now. And every day, that was all the life that we knew. Didn't know any better. And we have 5 kids, and our marriage is failing. We're getting ready to lose the kids. Just got evicted out of our house. And her sister told us that we needed to come to church. And so I did. We were scared. I was going to lose everything. My family didn't know what to do. So after the service, I came down. I kneeled down and I just asked God, I was like, how am I going to do this? And he said, 2 simple things. Just give me the glory and put me first. And then he said, rise, you're a brand new man. It was that simple.
How you said at that moment, yeah. Yep. You told me, Vince, at that moment, you had no more addictions.
Yeah, just like that. I wasn't addicted anymore. I mean, I felt it in my heart as soon as I stood up. And every step I took walking out of here, I was a brand new man.
Desiree, yes. Desiree, you had a... Your sister, who you guys were living with because life had thrown this curveball at you, said, if you're going to live with me, you've got to come here. Because she had a similar story in finding God here.
She got saved Thanksgiving of 2011. And, that was one of her rules in her house. If you want to stay here, my rule is to go to church. So she brought me here. And my first day here, I was really upset. I had a lot of guilt and shame weighing down on my heart, and my tears flowed heavily through worship, through the service, the whole time. And I remember thinking I was worried because I was gonna have to go to work afterwards. I was gonna be tired, and actually, I feel that it was the Holy Spirit that came over me that day because I walked out of here feeling more refreshed than ever. I mean, my heart felt weightless. I felt shameless and that's why I can stand up here and tell you guys about this today, because I have no shame. I'm a different person today, and I no longer live that life.
Amen. So you guys...
I just want to mention something.
Yeah, go for it.
And then within 6 months' time, we got our lives back. I got a job, which I got a promotion. Usually at this place, you can only get a promotion after a year. I did it in 4 months. The promotion came with a house. We got our life back at the kids. We got a brand new home. Everything. Glory to God.
Pretty incredible. So you guys signed up for one of our marriage classes and decided to begin to put God's commands into your marriage. Tell us about that.
I just realized that since that moment that I had to follow Christ and put him first no matter what. And so we did the fireproof and tried to implement that into our marriage. And we couldn't be happier. It's built us up. It's everything through God first.
Amen. Let's tell him thanks. Thank you, guys. God's doing good things. Thanks, Vince. Thanks, Desiree. When I first met them down here, God gave me a crazy word for them. He said that they would be pillars, their marriage would be pillars for God in their community, in their family, and that people would model their marriage after them. So they're early on the journey. Let's continue to pray that God uses them. But there is a call on their life to minister to others. Thank you guys so much. Yeah, you guys are awesome. Larray, thanks for bringing them. There's this moment when we follow Jesus, where we have opportunities like that, when we encounter him. Are we going to put those commands into practice in our lives or not? And that happened in Scripture as well. Many were following Jesus. Many had begun to see the opportunity of what that meant and begin to understand his commands. But it goes a bit further. Come, follow me is more than an invitation. And it's more than a command that is surprisingly simple. Your last point there, it's a call that is profoundly transformative. It's a call that's profoundly transformative. In Mark 10, there's this story recorded of someone who had encountered Jesus. He'd been following Jesus. He'd accepted the invitation. He'd put the commands of Jesus into his life and had been obedient to those. But there was a call on this young man's life that required transformation. We pick it up in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him, saying, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responds by saying, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone." But then he says this, reading the heart of this young man who's fell at his knees. He says, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not commit and give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He recognizes that this young man has been following. He recognizes that this young man has put into practice these commands that are simple but difficult. But he says to him, "You know these commandments." The young man responds, "Teacher, all these I have kept since I was a boy. I accepted the invitation. I've accepted the commands. They've been surprisingly simple. And I love this." Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus was about to put the hot button on his heart, but he had such compassion. I want to tell you, when God puts that finger on your heart and challenges you, he does it in love. Jesus knew he was about to ruin this young man's day, but he loved him. He said this, "One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." He says, "You've done all the right things. You've accepted the invitation to follow me. You've put the right principles in place. But one thing you lack, your heart isn't willing to be transformed. You have all this, and if you want to follow that call in your life, I need you to be willing to be transformed." The young man went away discouraged because he had great wealth. You see, when Jesus calls us, he's got a special calling on each of us. And I don't want that to just be like Pollyanna, prosperity gospel. Hey, we all have a calling. It's true. Every single person here, no matter your past, no matter what you've done, where you've fallen short, God has a calling on your life. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows the intended purpose of your life, and he wants to see it unfold. And it starts with the invitation of following Jesus. It grows, and we grow as we put those commands into place. But there's this moment where he says, "That's not quite good enough. Yeah, I already love you. You're saved. It's not a matter of performing for me to be in my graces. That's covered. But if you want to follow this call, come follow me, this call on your life, then you've got to be willing to transform, to give up everything, to change, to morph. When I challenge you, when I press on your heart, I want you to be willing to change." And I would say to those who are new to this following of Jesus that day will come. And you're probably already seeing much of that transformation, like Vince and Desiree are, that they're willing to be transformed because there's no other way, that the commands aren't rules, they're like life compared to what life like was before. But then one day in the journey, we're going to think we've arrived, we've got the commands in place, and he's going to say, "I want more from you. There's one thing you lack. Be transformed." And I would say in a church like ours, there's amazing people who have been following God for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And the danger is, and I met with many of you over coffee, you ask, "You know, I don't know what God's call on my life is. I don't know if I have a role in his kingdom." And I would say, are you willing to be transformed? And even for an older generation, I often hear, "Is God done with me? I was involved in ministry. I'm not as much anymore. And I want to be used of God, but am I too old? Is he done with me?" And I would say, he's not done with you. If you're here, there's a call on your life to do something for him. But when was the last time you were willing to be transformed? When was the last time that you let God push on your heart and say, I want more, there's one thing you lack. I want more from you, because it's going to help you have that calling on your life to minister to your family, to change and be flexible, to understand the new way that culture is, to understand your church in a new way. I'm asking you to be willing to be transformed. John Eldridge, a famous author and speaker, recently wrote a book called Beautiful Holiness, The Beauty of Holiness, about this idea of following God's commands and the beauty that it brings to us. And he said this: if we're a genuine follower of Christ and we do want to follow Jesus, then repentance should be a normal act of our following Christ. And he said, and it challenged me, if you're following Christ, he's creator, God, he's holy, we're not. And yes, we've been covered in grace, we're forgiven, that's all there, but he's still working us, he's still transforming us. He said, if you're not repenting at least once a week of something in your life that needs transformed, I'm not sure you're really following Jesus. And I would say that challenges to us. We all have a call in our life. We have a unique purpose. But we've got to be willing to be transformed. Jesus says to this rich young ruler, great job. You've followed me. You've done all these great commands and principles. And I love you, but there's one thing you lack. Be willing to be transformed. Then come and follow me. When we encounter Jesus, he offers us this invitation, this command, this call of come and follow me. We first met him with these four disciples on the seashore of Galilee, and he invites them, come and follow me. But the story for them doesn't end there. There's another encounter that they have with him in John 21, where he meets them once again at the seashore of Galilee. You see, they had put all their hopes in this teacher, their trust. They had learned to walk like him. They'd followed him. They taught like him. They ministered like him. Even some of them healed like him. But they thought he was going to overthrow the government. They thought he was going to usher in a new Israel. But instead, everything turned, and he went to his death on a cross with humility for the sake of their lives and for our lives. And in confusion, they're still trying to figure out what was this man's purpose, this Jesus. And they do what all good fishermen do, is return to fishing when things get rough. It's recorded in John chapter 1, 21. It says, afterward, after his resurrection, this is, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. He'd been showing up, kind of showing himself to the faithful, showing himself to those that doubted, himself to those that doubted. And he appears to these men once again by the Sea of Galilee. John says it happened this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and both James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were there. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. What else do fishermen do when things get down? They go back to fishing. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they had caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. Picture this scene: professional fishermen who spent all night fishing and not a single fish. You ever met a grumpy fisherman? They're not so happy when they don't catch fish. They're out there to catch fish. Picture these men, professionals, tradesmen. They know how to fish. They spend a whole night fishing and catch nothing. And this man, this stranger, they don't recognize him as Jesus, says this: friends, haven't you any fish? I'd advise don't ask a fisherman who hasn't caught any fish if he has any fish. No, they answered. And he chooses to give them advice. Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. He gives these frustrated fishermen advice. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of their large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. They recognized him. For some reason, these grumpy fishermen who'd caught nothing decided to obey this command from this stranger. There must have been something in them that recognized the voice without knowing it was Jesus. And when the fish come in, they realize that is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, for he was working, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far off from shore. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. You see, Jesus didn't need them to catch the fish so that they could have a meal. God just needed them to be obedient, to be willing to transform. He had the fish prepared not only fish, but cooked fish and warm bread, a meal at the seashore. Jesus is going to do the work for us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to show us the way. He's going to lead. He says, come and follow me. And then he's the provision for how we are to follow him. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Come and have breakfast. Once again, it's an invitation. Peter, the one that ran from the boat, has this profound moment. It's a famous moment and continues in John 21. And if you know the story of Peter, not too many days before, he had denied even knowing Jesus. One of the first persons Jesus encountered at the Sea of Galilee, come, follow me. He drops his nets, he follows, he ministers. And then on that night where Christ was crucified, he denies him. And then Jesus invites him to breakfast and says, do you love me? He says it three times in a number of different ways and eventually says, then Peter, feed my sheep. And at the very end in verse 19, Jesus said to him, follow me, exclamation point. Peter, follow me. In all your ups and downs, in all your failures and shortcomings, in all your successes, just follow me. I've called you to be a fisher of men. You have a trade, you have a vocation, but I have a call on your life. And in Jesus' last moments, it's recorded in Matthew, he gives the disciples instructions, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in my name. He says, you have a call on your life. And what he says to every one of us, when he says, come follow me, it's not because he needs us. It's because there's a call on our life and we find it when we follow him. But he does initiate it. He comes to us and invites us. He comes to us and then he gives us commands that bring rest for our soul, benefit to our lives and those around us. And then he says, if you want to follow my call on your life, be willing to be transformed. We've asked the band to come up and sing that song one more time for us, that I've decided to follow Jesus. It's a decision for all of us. And on your notes, you'll see three checkboxes. What I'm going to ask you to do as we sing is to consider where you're at on this journey with Jesus. For some of you, you need to check that box. I'm accepting the invitation to follow Jesus. I don't know what that means. I don't know what ups and downs will come. I don't even know what he's going to ask me to do or become, but he sure is interesting. If he is the Son of God, I want to know what that means for my life. I'm accepting the invitation of Jesus. I would just ask that you would check that off as we sing. For some of you, you've done that. You've been intrigued by who Jesus is. You've been following him, maybe even given your life to him already. But there's some commands he's asking of you recently that are surprisingly simple because he leads the way, but require you to give up yourself, to deny self, to change. I'm asking you to consider checking off that box. I will simply surrender to his commands. I will simply surrender to the commands that you give me, Jesus, for my benefit and those around me. For others, you've done that. You've been doing that. And maybe life with Jesus is stagnant and needs a jump start. And he's actually asking you the harder thing. Don't just obey my commands and follow me, but follow me by being willing to transform. Would you be willing to check off the box? I'm willing to be transformed for the sake of the calling Jesus has on my life. Maybe some of you will check off one box, maybe some two or even three. But as we sing, I want you to do business with God and ask him to show you what he's asking you to do. And as you check off that box, I'm going to ask you to stand up and just sing with us. I've decided to follow Jesus. So Father God, you are pretty amazing. And you pursued us. You initiated the invitation to come and follow you. And God, as we journey with you, we know you're going to throw some commands our way, not rules and regulation, not to put us in a place of religion, but instruction that we need to surrender and submit to your lordship over our lives so that we receive that benefit and we can be a benefit to others, that there will be rest for our souls. So we will check that box off. And Father God, in Jesus, you have given us a mighty calling. But we need transformation, and we need to humble ourselves and be willing to be transformed. So as we follow you, would you lead us to follow you? Help us make that decision today.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.